Well, I'm delighted to be here, and the reason I'm here is George Catchell, and you didn't tell me, George, that you had told them all about your day, so I had to quickly change all my notes. No, I'm just kidding. We had a wonderful day in Washington, D.C., and I think because of George's presentation, you have an idea about what Honor Flight is. So what I'm going to share with you is hopefully not redundant, okay? If it is, well, just sleep through it, okay? I just want to take a few minutes. I got a phone call a year ago, May, and it was my Uncle Henry. Now, my Uncle Henry served in the Army Air Corps as a signal radio thing, something. And he said, Sandra Ann, would you come up and stay with your Aunt Jo while I, you know, have to be out of town? And I said, sure. I had no idea. So we go up. Well, the way they do it, and he's in Broken Arrow, and it was the Tulsa Honor Flight. And they have a get-together the night before they go. They all do it a little different. And all of a sudden, there were all these people and all these veterans and congressmen and families. And oh, my soul, I was just, what is going on? And then they had all the veterans sit in a location. But before they sit, they march in. It was in a big, theirs is a bigger Honor Flight than Honor Flight Fort Worth. And they come in, and as they come in, the whole place stands and claps, however long it takes for them to get to the seat. Well, I mean, there was no point in wearing eye makeup because it was off after all that happened. And I was so amazed. And then he came home the next day and told about it. He was 89 at the time. He's now 90. And he's very articulate, and he told me all about it. And I was just, my dad was a Lieutenant JG in the Navy on the USS Anderson. And he never got to have the opportunity to, as many veterans didn't, because the memorial for World War II didn't finish until, what was it, May 2004? So I started thinking about my dad, and more on that in a moment. But I thought, gee, I wonder if I could be a part of this. You know, Tulsa's a little far. So I came home, you'll appreciate that, and I Googled it, and I went, oh, my stars. There's an Honor Flight in Fort Worth. So I immediately got in touch with Honor Flight Fort Worth. Lois Engler Houston and Sandy Ellis had started it. Their hubs, there are now 127 hubs in 41 states. And the Texas group, all except Austin, have decided to join together in a coalition because our desire, our mission, is to get every World War II vet that is possible to the memorial. That's our first focus. However, Honor Flight will continue then to Korea and Vietnam, and then we also take anyone who is has a life-threatening disease and is at the end stage from that. If they can go on the trip, we take them too, regardless of the war. So it's something that started that will continue. And I don't know if George told you, Earl Morris is the person who started it, and the story of the starting is, I don't know, it's moving. And you know, sometimes people have ideas and they think, oh, wouldn't this be great, but it kind of sits there. And I'm always impressed with someone who takes the idea and puts action to it. Earl was a physician's assistant and a retired U.S. Air Force captain. And he served a lot of World War II vets in the clinic. And when it was finished, when the World War II memorial was finished, he got to talking to him. And one of them, Mr. Loy, L-O-Y, he said, well, would you like to go see that memorial? Oh, he started asking him, are you going to go see the memorial? So then when they'd come back in for their checkups, most of them would say, well, it's not possible financially, and my family can't take time, and blah-de-blah-de-blah. So he starts going, wait a minute. So to Mr. Loy, he said, would you go to see the World War II memorial if it was free? And he said, the guy broke down in tears. And he said, every time, the first flight was May of 2005, seven small planes, because it just so happened that Earl was also a small, you know, small plane pilot. And he got seven of his friends from an aeronautics club that they had, and they took seven vets. And that's where it began. So they formed it, and then they formed a network. And the Honor Flight Network under it comes all of these hubs, you know, and the hub is just a matter of being trained on how it works, and all of them do things a little bit differently. But when I got involved with the Fort Worth, I just said, whatever. And what drew me in the first one was they do a thing called Flags of Our Heroes. Now, on George's flight, we didn't do this for my dad. I'd already done it, but we did do it for another family. It's when you're, if you would like to honor your loved one who was not able, is no longer here, we do a special ceremony at that pillar. Mostly it's the Texas pillar, but we've also, I think, on George's flight, I think we did it, they did it at Minnesota, I believe. Is that right? I don't remember. But I made George, I told George, I said, okay, you have to be my daddy today, because my daddy couldn't do this, so we went to the Oklahoma pillar, because that's where he was from, and I have a picture I gave George of us in front of the Oklahoma pillar. So he was wonderful to serve in that capacity for me that day. And it was very moving, and it just, you know, I couldn't walk away. After that, I was like, oh, it's got to be a part of this. I'm a volunteer. We're all volunteers at Honor Flight Fort Worth. Nobody gets paid anything. All donations go so that every vet goes free. I've been a guardian now on three or four flights, and I will again be a guardian in October. We go October 8th and October 15th, so if you know someone that needs to be aware of this, all you've got to do, and I brought my business card, and I'll leave one with you, to contact me, and also, I think Polly's going to put the website in the newsletter. Many, many things, and I won't go into a lot, because I know George told you just about the wonderful things that happened on the trip, but I'm going to pick on him a little bit, because we were on our way home, and talk, you know, and I looked at him one point, and he says, you know, I don't think I've ever talked this much about all this. And I said, well, you know, George, the funny thing is I'm usually not this quiet. So one of the blessings of going is hearing wonderful stories that really truthfully may not have ever been stated before. And on every reunion, and I urge you, if you want to stay in touch with me, I'll let you know, we always have a meet and greet before the flights. And then we have a reunion after the flights. And anytime you would like to be a guest of one of those, you know, it's pretty wonderful. But one of the things that kind of stands out in my mind, it was the first flight I went on. My vet, Ms. Sergeant First Class Thomas Watson. We were at the airport. We got there early. We were hungry, but we knew we were going to get fed on the plane, but we were hungry now, you know. And I said, Sergeant First Class Thomas Watson, excuse me, would you like to go get something to eat? I'll go get you a slice of pizza. And he said, you know what? I'll just go with you. I said, okay. So we walked over to the pizza place. We're standing there, and he says, you know, I want to get this pizza for you. I said, no. Today is... No, you are not to bring your pocketbook out. But in the meantime, he had pulled out his billfold. Hope I can say this with that. But, and all of a sudden, this man, business suit, probably in his 40s, is walking by. And he comes up and kind of gets in front of me. And I'm like, do you not see this man in the uniform? You know, what is your problem? And I thought, oh, well, you know, each to his own. And we just, and he looked at Watson, and he's Mr. Watson, and he said, this one's on me. You've done your share. And he gave his credit card. See, I can't. It had the same effect on Mr. Watson, because he said, through kind of what I'm doing right now, he said, you know, this is still a great country. You can't buy stuff like that. Anyway. There are a lot of those, and we just spend the day enfolded with honor. What you can do to help, yeah.
Where the setting is, where is this memorial?
Oh, the memorial is in Washington, D.C. But now we go to that's the first place we go. We do a ceremony there. We have an honor guard. We do our Flags of Our Heroes. And then we visit the Franklin Delano Roosevelt, which is an amazing memorial. Oh, my gosh. It is like three houses worth. It is so wonderful and well, well done. We go to the Air Force Memorial, the Korean Memorial. Some people go on over to the Vietnam if there's time. Time is always an issue. But I'm going to tell you, you know, one of the amazing things that the Guardians will say, and they usually say at some point, is here's these guys in their 80s and 90s, right? They wear us out. I mean, they are like Energizer bunnies, and they make it the whole, I mean, and whatever it is, whether it's a wheelchair or they need oxygen or they need other medication or whatever, if they're willing to go, we handle it. We just handle it. And oh my goodness. And to see the response of young people and adults when we get off the plane, I mean, it's just amazing. And usually there's a band or a quartet or a French horn or something playing, you know, military music. People come up at the memorial and shake the guys' hands and say thank you for your service. And a lot of the guys will tell us, and George, you may be included, I don't remember your commenting specifically, but that this is the first time they remember being thanked for their service. And you'll see other kids get off buses, like Future Business Leaders of America had a bus, and they came off at one time when we were on one of the flights. And it's just glory to see these young people getting exposed to how we honor people in these United States of America. And I must say that Honor Flight Fort Worth is the best dressed. You can find us. We have, George has on his blue shirt today. I have on my Guardian shirt. And we each have parkas, yeah. And his is red and mine is yellow. And we have hats. And, well, you brought yours. Hold up your hat. You probably showed it to him. I have a blue one. So you always know you can find a Guardian or a vet from our group. And that's real important because sometimes there's three or four. What's really cool is there's sometimes three or four honor flights from different states. And so the guys get to intermix a little bit with that. There's just, it's just a hallelujah time, really is. We go to the changing of the guards and see the what do you call that, the National Cemetery, is that what you call it?
Yeah.
There you go, yeah. We watched that. Have I missed anything, George?
Iwo Jima.
Oh, that's right. We do the Iwo Jima. We got a picture there, yeah. George came out on the, we always do pictures. We have a photographer that goes with us, and then he creates a slideshow with those pictures. So we did one for each flight, and I must say, George had some very prominent shots in that. So maybe you could bring some of those.
Because of her.
Yeah, well, you know, he had two cameras. I'll tell the two camera story. We had two cameras, so when we took one with one, I said, okay, let's get the other one, take one with another one. Well, it's a good thing we did that, because in a plane coming home, he put one of his cameras on the floor and forgot it. And we've never seen it since. But because we had taken, you know, dual photos of everything, we were shutterbugging a lot. And our photographer was as well. So we allow them to take that home, the memories to take home. And again, that's part of what we provide them. That's part of the free deal. Irv, you're the photographer? Well, I tell you, there's nothing like having a photographer focused on just catching all those shots. It really means a lot. What you can do to help us, and you actually, George has already done it, is any opportunity that we can get in front of a group that y'all are kind of aware of it because of George, so I didn't give you know, all the detail. But there are a lot of people that don't know. And at December of 2012, we had taken the whole network, had taken 98,500 vets. Now that's the end of 2012, so they'll have another figure the end of 2013. But we're losing vets at about 800 a day. So, and this last flight, we lost a vet between the time of the flight and then our reunion, which is unusual, but it brought home time is of the essence. So we are really on fire so that everybody that wants to has an opportunity to hear about it and an opportunity to go. And donations are always, always needed. And we function totally on donations. So if you know a corporation,